Sports Day. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Petrarca down, little runner, curls its way home. And Melbourne from 19 points down are now 12 points in front. And Melbourne plough it forward again. Jackson's got it. There's time. He gives to Oliver, who steadies and drives it through. This is unbelievable. He's kicked his sixth. And the Demons go further ahead. Bailey Fritsch, six goals in a grand final. McDonald comes in and steers it through. 57 years. And the Demons thereof have been buried by the Demons of 2021.
After 57 years of pain, it's coming home.
Yes, indeed, Max. 7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. The Demons are premiers and the victory so swift after looking unlikely midway through the third quarter. It was an onslaught rarely seen in a grand final, with Essendon in 84 the only comparison I could think of. But we've seen it so many times in 2021 by this team. In round 12, Melbourne trailed Brisbane by 20 points, yet kicked 9 goals 9 in the second half to win by 23. In round 23, the Demons trailed by 32 points at three-quarter time, and in a famous victory against another premiership contender, Geelong, got home with a max kick after the final siren to win by 4 points. And so it was, just a rehearsal for grand final day. Down by 19 points, as you just heard, 12 minutes and 11 seconds into the third quarter, when the Bont, best on ground a mile at that stage, kicked his third goal to put the Dogs 19 points ahead. And then it hit. The city of Melbourne had an earthquake registering 6 last week, but the Melbourne Footy Club produced a cyclonic force in Perth that blew the Dogs off the oval and the failures of the past 6 decades into irrelevance, committed now to history as a new era begins for the Demons. The start of a dynasty? Who knows? But it's a darn good start, given the age profile and raw talent available. A great win by the Demons, and sadly, someone had to lose in an epic game. And the Dogs were so magnificent through September, only to pull up a little short at the final hurdle. So the Perth Grand Final was a raging success, great for footy, particularly for Melbourne and their fans, who will now look to repeat the dose at the MCG next year. Shortly, Matthew Lloyd to give us his thoughts, but first, a voice familiar to you all. Bruce Eva joins us for a few weeks while the Scoop has a spell. Welcome to you, Beaver. What a weekend it was.
What a weekend it was, Jared. Great opening. A strange weekend, in fact, my friend. The Australian women's cricket team lost a match. The Melbourne Storm got beat. The World Heavyweight Boxing Championship changed hands in front of 66,000 fans in London. But yes, the longest current premiership drought is over. I know the red and white part of you celebrated in 05 and 12 with your Sydney Swans, but the bigger red and blue part of you, the celebrations, I think, are going to continue for many weeks and months ahead for you, Jeddah. Good evening.
Oh, it's great to be here, Beaver. It was a brilliant win by the Demons, as we know, and you haven't let me down. You got boxing and cricket into the first 20 seconds of the program first up, so that's absolutely magnificent. But it was an incredible game. I just love the game. It was befitting of the season. I think we've had a great season, albeit with all these difficulties. But on the field, we've had the stand rule, which maybe needed a little tweak here and there. But it's been great to see, and it's just to see that many goals kicked in the grand final in a spectacle that was, I think, will be remembered for a long, long time. It was a perfect finish to the season.
It is really rare to have two swings of momentum in a major final. I mean, one swing of momentum, some of the most famous finals of all. The 1970 Grand Final comes to mind for Lloydie, who's about to join us, of course, the 1984 Grand Final, Essendon's withering last term. But to have two swings of momentum to such an extent. In fact, the last one I can think of involved Melbourne in that famous semi-final against the Crows back in 02, where I think Adelaide led by 30 or 40 points, then Melbourne led by 30 or 40 points, and then Adelaide won by about three goals. But that was a semi-final. We're talking about a grand final and just incredible scenes.
Well, to get his thoughts for the final time in 2021, let's welcome this bloke. Momentum swings, Lloydy. It made for a great grand final. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Jared. Beaver, they feel pretty good about themselves this morning when you wake up and you go, we win our first final by 33 points v Brisbane. I thought it flattered the Lions, that first final, because they missed so many opportunities. Brisbane were a good side going in, made them look second rate. Geelong, they haven't done a lot wrong this year, lost by 83 points, and then you win the grand final by 74 points. It's amazing that... You're right. It's an epic game. But have we ever called a 74-point game an epic game? Mm. But it was. When you look back at the history books in 20 years, you go, geez, they were belted, the Dogs. But everyone has to go, no. They were up by 19 points halfway through the third quarter, and we saw one of the most amazing 12 minutes of football that the game's ever seen by Melbourne. And when Oliver kicked that goal out of the centre bounce, and Petrarca then dribbles one through, you thought, wow. And that's what I love about this team. Forget about the history. They weren't like that. Yes, I had my doubts maybe 6-7 weeks ago, Jerry, when I was questioning their forward line. Mm. But I haven't had many doubts about them through this final series.
I thought for a long time they were the most talented side that Melbourne had ever put together. And I was saying that last year when they were getting whacked as well. But it's okay to be talented. And it's okay to show promise. You've ultimately got to produce it. And the scary thing is, I think they're only just learning how good they can be.
And I love your point that you said about the wins they had during the year were similar to that. That's amazing belief, and the belief in the style. And they say Mark Williams went off at halftime, talking about they'd got away from the way they looked to play the game and around the centre bounce. Their pressure wasn't where it needed to be in that second quarter. It still didn't happen for them right at the start, but then it clicks back into gear. And it's like you have to beat them over 2 hours. You've got to beat good sides like Richmond. You've got to at them for four quarters. Melbourne's that same team, Beaver. You have to beat them over four quarters.
That's what was really of great interest to me. It was like just how poor Melbourne were for 30 minutes. Mm. And then you'd expect them to come out firing after half time. And yet the Bond had a huge start to the third quarter. The Dogs started to look as if they were about to snatch it away. And the momentum swings in sport. That's why you turn up, because you're just never sure who's going to win, Beaver.
So true. And back to Lloydy's point, Jared, about the narrative in 20, 30 years' time. We'll look back at the final series in 20 or 30 years' time. People say, well, apart from the romance of the Demons breaking the drought, was it really such a great final series? Because we had 2 1-point games. So week one, the Swans and the Giants, and week two, the Bulldogs and the Lions. And the next closest final was that Melbourne-Brisbane week one final of 33 points, which seemed a long 33 points, didn't it? That seemed like a 50 or 60-point margin. Everything else, 35, 43, 49, and then the two prelims and the grand final, where all three games were decided by 70 points plus.
And it's because of the midfield, and they were decided by belting. I think the Dogs' midfield just belted Port Adelaide, didn't they? And then Melbourne's midfielders just destroyed everyone. I thought Neil and Lyons and those guys looked second rate in that game. Selwood, Dangerfield, whoever else was second rate. And then for large portions of this game, they got found. I don't think Libba. I now think of the size of Oliver and Petrarca and Viney to a lesser extent and Brayshaw, that the way you draft players now. So, and even Cripps. So Cripps has got the size, but he hasn't got the explosiveness. It's the size to match with the explosiveness, Jared, that no one could really handle. And then you got Luke Jackson to throw in the mix as well, which is just scary what he did on grand final day.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of people today about this issue, Lordy. It's power.
Power, yeah.
You can be an endurance runner like McRae. You can be another endurance runner, although I think he could work on that particular element, but be big like Cripper. Like when you're big and you've got power, that's what all the gun recruiters will be looking for, because the game has shifted. And once again, a big-bodied mid has taken out the number one award. And I mean, it just emphasised once again that they are the most dominant players in the competition. How many goals did Bailey Fritz have to kick to win the medal? Because he got 6. Did he need to kick 8 to beat
Maybe
Petrarca?
That's what it is. Gary Ablett's 9. I know it was pretty special 9, but I think that's what it sort of takes at times to I remember Jack Gunston got close when Brian Lake won it. He kicked four, but a different sort of four.
Yeah.
Dermot kicked eight when Hawthorn were thrashed in 85. Mm. I don't think got close.
Jarman got six in a win, didn't he?
Yes, when McLeod won.
A bit. Sorry, Viva. You've had a hard weekend, I know.
Do you know the other rarity about, so often we talk about in the grand finals, the lower profile player who steps up? Like even with Richmond, Dusty won the three North Smiths, but like Jack Graham, you know, with his three goals, you go back over time, Shane Allen, dare I say, Glenn Freeborn in 96 with his 3 second quarter goals, but it was all the stars. It was all the star. I mean, Max Gawn's game, the dominant big man. Stephen May, even with the torn hamstring, Blankets, Norton. Bailey Fritch, this might be the first time ever, I haven't actually checked it. He actually overtook the Coleman medalist with his six goals. He's finished three goals off winning the league goal kicking. He finished three short of Tom Hawkins on 59 majors for the year. Oliver and Petrarca. Now, all the role players still did their jobs, but it was the big five or six that absolutely played at their ultimate.
We had Oliver on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, and I spoke about his kicking and how he's always been a handball player, and what a great kick he's become. And straight away he said, "Mark Williams, I think he's behind me, but he just told me you're not a great kick. We need to get your kicking better," and we just went to work on it. I know Mark has probably spent more time than anybody on the art of kicking. I think he's done a degree or some form of course on the art of kicking, but to a man, it just keeps talking about what Mark has done. So first for Goody to let Mark come in and take over. But I haven't seen a team improve their kicking, Jared, in the space of 12 months like Melbourne have. They used to...
Langdon's a classic coach.
They used to just hack the ball inside forward 50 and waste all their opportunities, whereas their turnaround in kicking has been phenomenal.
Need to take a break. 19 minutes after 6 on the Monday night after the grand final. Matthew Lloyd is here for the Maccas Monopoly game. More Sports Day right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
We've been tapping into it for probably 4 or 5 years now in terms of our real high purpose that we have is to bring happiness and fulfillment to those around us. And that's our supporters, it's past players, it's our families, it's our kids, it's everyone that's involved in footy. And that's the greatest satisfaction you get as an individual. When you walk off the ground and you see your loved ones or you see the supporters' joy on their face, that's why you play the game. And we tapped into all of that over the last 4 or 5 years. We used Neil Danaher. We've got some great stories at our footy club.
Well, there's the coach of the Demons, Simon Goodwin, elevates himself to legendary status as a drought breaker, Lloydie.
I see a lot of similarities to Damien Hardwick's first premiership where Damien spoke around he didn't like the person he'd become. He probably lost his relationships with his players. You just go into survival mode because you feel the pressure. I think Simon got to that point. And I watched Simon a lot of last year and he kept saying the same things over and over again. And I don't think he had the answers or he had how to turn this ship around. And it's interesting, he spoke after the game about trying to enjoy things a bit more, getting mentors away from football. And they spoke about, you can't control that. You worry about these aspects and that. Don't worry about those things. You're spending too much energy on the wrong things. And it's just nice to hear that see him in total control now of his team and what he's doing compared to where he was this time last year.
But there were really solid signs at the back end of last season that probably escaped, proper inspection and proper assessment. But clearly, they knew where they were going in the back half. It's, well documented that they'd had a meeting and furthered those meetings at the start of this season. And what were they? 0-9 or 9-0 at the start of the season or thereabouts, Beaver? You're a numbers man. 9-0, was it, before they lost one? Something like that, anyway. And away they went.
Darren Burgess will be a big loss, won't he?
Yes.
So I think that's an area where they just... He was in the ear of the coach. Just as they were about to hit the lead, I think he was saying, hey, our build-up, our fitness, the way we grind teams, it's coming here. Mm. So Sounds like he'll join the Adelaide Crows, Darren Burgess. So that'll be a big loss for their team. And he's earned his money, Burgess, over this period.
It's interesting you have a win and it puts to bed a lot of accepted wisdom. Like you can't win on one game in 28 days. You can't win if your facilities are second rate. I mean, I've heard for three decades that Melbourne need this and they need that and they need this. Well, yes, it'll be probably more comfortable if you've got them, like the facility out at Tullamarine. I mean, they've got an Optus-sized stadium ground and they've got an MCG-sized ground. But you can win if you get the personnel right. I mean, they can deal with imperfection.
Yeah, they were that good. They win anywhere. You spoke about the dynasty potentially, or could they get on? Who knows? Because I remember when the Dogs won in 2016, I thought, what a group this is. They're going to go on with it. They never did. Blokes get ahead of themselves. You have injuries. You have all sorts of things. But Bowie was in his first season.
Yep.
Rivers, Pickett, Jackson in their second. Jordan and Sparrow in their third. And Petty, Spargo and Fritch in their fourth. So that's nine of their players in their 1 to 4 year of their career.
Yeah, I know Beaver doesn't
subscribe to that theory.
In fact, he bagged me last week for suggesting that Melbourne had set a platform. But that's all they've done. They've set a platform. You can't have a dynasty until you've done it. Mm. But the platform, Beaver, it's difficult to argue, is not there. And I know you will argue, which is I'm looking forward to
hearing. What part do you disagree with?
Sorry, no, I just think it's the easy call and it's the emotional call after such an emphatic victory. I mean, everything went right for the Demons this year. Firstly, injuries. Really, Adam Tomlinson was the only one out of their best 22 or 23. They had the chance to pick Jaden Hunt and they didn't. Mm. He overcame the ankle injury. They had 16 players who played 23 out of 25 games or more. 10 played every game. 4 only missed one game and another 2 played 23 of the 25. I just think as well there's a few of the key players who aren't going to get any better.
Like who?
Well, Max Gawn and Stephen May both turned 30 this summer. Now, Max Gawn, I know, is the preeminent big man in the competition. So that's where...
He's only 30, though, Bob. He's not 36.
Well, and he's played 150 games. So I don't,
well, that's because of injury, isn't it?
Yeah, like, but he's, had a couple of knee rehabs. The only one who's of that ilk. No one haven't got a 200-game player in their team.
And he'd be one of the best runners, wouldn't he? He'd be the best runner in the AFL for a ruckman.
And he's a hell of a lot better now than he was 5 years ago.
Are they going to get the same out of Ben Brown and Tom McDonald?
I mean, no one knows that.
But, no, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But they weren't amazing, though, were they? Like, they just played a role.
Ben Brown kicked 3. Yeah. I mean, he certainly added a different
mix. He played 13 games.
Including the last 10. Well, I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, that's where, with everything going right, that was part of my argument. Yeah. He played 3 of the first 15 games and then he played the last 10 in a row.
But I don't think it's an easy call or an emotional call. But I think what we're saying is...
But we say this, it every this, year,
no, we don't. No, we don't. We don't say that every year.
Well, hang on.
This is a call based on the build, the list build. And I looked at who's out of that side. I mean, they've got Wiedemann who could become a super player. They've got Tomlinson who can come in as a backup. Petty... is only a kid. They've got young midfielders yet to be exposed over a couple of seasons. I mean, look, they may not win another flag, but I'll tell you what, I think the chances of them winning another one in the next 3 years is much better than them not winning one.
Just on Lloydie's point, he mentioned the example of Bulldogs 2016. Mm. I reckon you can go even more recent history. West Coast in 2018 won the flag without Nick Natanui, Andrew Gaff and Brad Shepherd, all Australian players or soon to be all Australian players. Shepherd wasn't an all Australian player at the time. So, I mean, if someone had said to you at the end of the 2018 grand final, with those three players missing, that the Eagles then in the next 3 years would win one elimination final against Essendon on their home deck, you would have been laughed out of the stadium.
I think you're probably right. But I think the easy call is to say there won't be a dynasty because if you look across 100 years, how many dynasties have there been? There have been only a few. So it's not easy, but I just look
only
at
a
Melbourne.
Few. We've had 4 since the turn of the century.
And that's why I reckon there is
Brisbane,
a chance.
Brisbane, Geelong, Richmond. Hawthorn and Richmond.
Well, I think we're going to get 5.
So that's where I think that Petrarca, Oliver, Viney, Brayshaw, I think, as I said, I'm with you. I think they're just getting a taste. They've only learnt how to play team football. I use the example of Michael Voss. He can walk in there and go, okay, guys, we've played as individuals. I think a mob down the road has just learnt that when you play for each other and you the team rewards that they're getting, and I think they're only just touching that.
Well, I look at Cozzy. I mean, Cozzy for the first 7 weeks this year was the best small man in the game, and he's basically struggled. He's hung on and he's done okay. He's contributed like a first-year player or a second-year player. But if he does become Cyril Rioli-esque, which he's got that potential to be that. I mean, he's only going to be a 12-possession player unless he goes through the midfield. But he's a hard-tackling unit. He's got a hunger for goals. He's got a hunger for the contest. No, they're well set, the Demons, and it would be surprising if they don't have success at the MCG in the next 12 months to 24 months.
On your point, Obiva, playing in 2000, we thought, and you just don't know what's coming. So
that's my argument.
No, but I'm arguing with more so strongly against you because I think that this is a group that has a lot of growth in it, in my opinion.
So you're saying you guys didn't have a lot of growth in you in 2000?
No, we didn't know that Lappin, Voss, Ackermanis, Brown,
someone else
Lynch,
came along.
Like superstar. Like this is one of the great teams of all time. So they were coming up behind us. I don't know who that is. You never know who it is, but there was a pretty special team that needed to knock us off to beat us in 2001.
That's why it's a great debate. Let them enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
I think they are.
Thanks, Beaver. More Sports Day right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Minutes to 7. It's time for some news headlines with Tony Tardio. Thanks to Polaris. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. The Premier is reassuring Victorians they will be allowed to have visitors to their home in time for Christmas. New South Wales says a 90% vaccination threshold by December 1st would allow an unlimited number of home visitors, the reopening of nightclubs and the removal of masks in offices. Daniel Andrews says Victoria needs to focus on hitting 70 and 80% before we consider the same threshold. 705 cases of COVID in Victoria today. A Darebin man aged in his 70s has died. Qantas has cancelled most of its flights scheduled from Western Australia to Melbourne and Sydney over the summer. The decision has been made because of the WA government's reluctance to reopen the border. And police are investigating a stalking incident at Donvale on the weekend. Investigators have been told an unknown man followed a 59-year-old woman along Eastlink Trail and chased her when she began running and calling for help. A passing cyclist eventually came to the woman's aid and walked her back to her car. More news at 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. A Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio update. For Continental Tyres. When everything counts, count on Continental.
And there's already some movement or plenty of names being thrown about Jeddah and Lloydy regarding the Trade Week doesn't officially start till next week. But as
Trade
we know,
Week's already started.
It's already started because Trade Radio started. So St Kilda's Ben Long has become the subject of early trade talks with rival clubs making some inquiries as to whether he'd be open to a move away from Moorabbin. Still contracted for next year is Ben Long.
Would Lloydy. He be a big loss or not?
Not a massive loss, no, but I think, I mean, his best
What's
is
his
pretty,
best position, Beaver?
Well, that's a very good question, Jared, because he's been used at both ends at times with very good effect and at other times he's been very ineffective. Finished the season as a sort of defensive pressuring forward.
And did a pretty good job.
Yeah. After being out of form as a halfback, yet he started as a halfback in 2020. So we'll watch that one with interest over the next couple of weeks. Now, Hamish Hartlett, the Port Adelaide veteran, said today he's hopeful of finding another club after being delisted by Port Adelaide. Will he find one?
Oh, he's a chance, but it all depends on economics. I mean, he's prepared to go and play for base wages and, you know, just try his hand. I think he'll get a Guernsey, Lloyd. He's 31 years of age.
He can really play Hamish, but with his injury history, he's probably up against it.
And also some reports that Port Adelaide has shown preliminary interest in Hawthorn forward Tim O'Brien, who some say was a little unlucky to miss out on the mark of the year this year.
It's an interesting one. Like Tim, he plays some, has some good moments, but never, ever consistent. And
they've already got Georgiades and Marshall.
I just wonder...
Out, going to play him down back.
Out Trent McKenzie.
Maybe down back.
And Tim, can you be our key backman?
So McKenzie and Cleary out.
Yep.
It's been an undersized backline for a few years there at Albion. We need to
take
about a
Josh
break.
Battle? Is he settled? Or is there a fight over Battle?
I hope so. We'll discuss that next. In fact, football broadcasting royalty to join us next. Dennis Cometti up next live on Sports Day.
When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Wilson, like a cork in the ocean over his head. Oh, my word!
This is a virtuoso performance. He will leave tonight and get on the team bus with a violin case. I'm going to say it, Bruce. That was centimetre perfect. What a kick.
Hello and welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021, and the new Kia Niro electric SUV, which has now landed. Well, he's one of the greats, and on Saturday, allegedly, he called his final AFL game a grand final, fittingly, in Perth. Dennis Cometti joins us. Welcome to you, Dennis, and congratulations on a brilliant career. You've entertained us all magnificently for a few decades. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Great to hear your voice. You're not taking it as being gospel, though, are you, that I'm retiring?
No,
I can hear that in your voice.
No, I'm a doubting Thomas, I've got to say, and I look forward to your comeback. It's going to be hard to beat a grand final in Perth, Dennis. What a fitting way to go out, if in fact that's it.
It is it. But it was a fantastic game, wasn't it? A strange game. Now, I've never seen one quite like it. Both teams looked certain to win at various times, and it didn't work out that way, did it? They were just two sides that went at it for, well, 2.5 quarters, and then suddenly Melbourne ran riot. It was a good day for me because as a kid I used to barrack for Melbourne.
Yep.
My first jumper was a Melbourne jumper, and then I went sort of via the Bulldogs to 3DB. I played a few reserves games for the Bulldogs back in 70, I think it was, or 71. So fond memories of both those clubs.
We'll get to the game in a tick, but tell me about Perth. Oh. And you must be proud of your old town.
Yeah, they turned it on, didn't they? And, of course, they're lucky because most people are healthy over here at the moment in terms of COVID. I look east and it's a terrible thing that's happening over there. So I think it was certainly great for the city, and I hope it was a lift for people in Melbourne watching the game. It was a lovely day, and as I say, both sides had their chances. And then they saw, when it became one-sided, they saw a virtuoso performance from Melbourne. I mean, Melbourne were outstanding. I mean, Petrarca, he reminded me of Lee Matthews XL. Yep. I mean, he's just a bigger and quicker. I mean, you know, Lee would have trouble dealing with him, I reckon.
Yeah, he'd have one way dealing with it. I don't think he'd get away with it these days.
Dennis, you can't do that anymore, can you?
Dennis, you've broadcast from suburban venues in Perth, the famous old suburban venues here in Melbourne, of course, grand finals at the MCG. With 100,000 people. For those that haven't been to the new Perth Stadium, just talk us through it from a broadcaster's perspective as to just what an amazing cauldron it is.
Well, there's just more room. You know, it's a bigger place. It's a more modern place. That's not putting the MCG down because I love the MCG. You know, cricket, football, I've had some wonderful memories from the MCG. So this is not one better than the other. They're just from different eras. Now, a lot to be said for the MCG. I believe in tradition, so I don't know whether you could do this again. It's hard to say. I just love the stadium. It's brand new. Everything sparkles. There's so much space. It's all about space. And I think even more leg room. There'd have to be, wouldn't there? But so it's new, and it's got that advantage over the MCG. It's one of the great stadiums in the world. There's no question. But other stadiums will be built, and they'll become great stadiums of the world. That's the way it goes when it comes to stadia.
Hey, Dennis, congratulations on an outstanding career. I've just loved listening to you call, and even some of my games being part of hearing you call my name was a real thrill. I've got a couple of questions. I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times before, but the player you enjoyed calling most and the game that you loved calling the most over your journey.
Well, I think the 89 grand final stands out for a whole range of reasons, but that was a spectacular game, sensational start. You didn't have to wait long. Mm. In fact, I was looking back over my left shoulder to see what the heck had happened, but it was a terrific game. And when you look at the figures of, say, a game like that compared to what we've seen in the last decade, the number of possessions in games, it was about a third. It just went from end to end, goals, Ablett, you know, the whole thing. So that's one of the great games I saw. And State of Origin. I mean, nothing was purer than State of Origin. Undercoached, which was a good thing, and the best players in the country coming together. And they meant it. I mean, they didn't come over here for a free ride. They came over here to try and win games against South Australia or Western Australia, the Victorians. And, of course, the other way around. We didn't play too many State of Origin games in Melbourne, though, but certainly in Perth and Adelaide, that really rejuvenated football. Not that it needed too much rejuvenation, but that was an extra step that we hadn't seen coming, and it was magnificent.
And the player, sorry, Dennis?
Did I say a player? Well, Lee would be one. Polly would be another. I played with Polly back in the 60s, and he was very good to me, Polly. I think I may have been known as Polly's pet at one stage. I got very close to Polly. And then, let me see, other players, too many. I'm going to leave some out that probably, when I think back about the interview, I didn't list any. So Farmer, certainly. Cable, brilliant. Now, they're both West Australians. I saw a lot of them. But Cable, both of those players proved their worth when they went to Victoria. Ebert, I like very much. And as far as the Victorians are concerned, I mentioned Lee. I go back a ways over there. My favourites actually turned up over here. A lot of Melbourne players in particular came to Western Australia. So I saw Bob Johnson probably in his prime. He coached a premiership side over here. Hassan Mann was another great player who came from Victoria and coached a premiership side in Perth. Don Williams, who was another great player. All these names, Jared, you'd recognise. Mm. Don Williams came over and he played for West Perth and played in the premiership. And ironically, the coach of that team was Arthur Oliver from the Western Bulldogs. And my first league coach over here was Bob Spargo, whose grandson played for Melbourne the other day.
Yes, and he's now a premiership player. Dennis, going to ask you about the game. You've seen, you know, probably in my view, the best era was early 90s. It's gone through this really congested era. It seems to me to be coming out the back or coming out the front, as it was with Petrarca getting all those goals from the front half of the squared. Are you happy with where the game is evolving to at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I think it's sort of come out of the doldrums. When you look at the possessions in that game I was talking about back in 89, they were probably less than a half of what they were doing, you know, sort of 4 or 5 years ago. So that's remarkable in its way, isn't it? Where did those possessions go with far less scoring? So it went backwards. It was hard to watch at times. But now I think, unlike you, I mean, when you saw that free running at the weekend, of course, these were the best two sides. Yep. But they had runners. We knew that going in. Fancy trying to stand in Petrarca's way. I mean, if you're 20 metres gone from the centre, he was gone. You know, like you couldn't bring him down. And that sort of player is so exciting. As I said before, Lee couldn't catch him, and I doubt Lee could knock him over. But as you said, probably Lee had his own measures that he could take. But it's terrific. That game at the weekend, when both sides could win it, now we say that often when we see games, either side could win. But really, you get a feeling that one side's on top. But I've never seen such movements one way and the other happen so quickly. I mean, halfway through that third quarter, you were going to put your house on the Western Bulldogs. And then suddenly, by three-quarter time, Melbourne are about, three and a half goals in front.
Yep.
Will you still go to the footy next year, Dennis? And if not, how will you fill in your weekends?
Well, no, I'll go to the footy. Well, I don't know if I'll go, but I will certainly watch it on television. I mean, it's a smorgasbord on TV. If the game is not going, you know, sort of as you'd like it to go, or if it's one-sided, then maybe you can just switch channels and get another game. It's just terrific, the coverage now. No one can argue with that. And, you know, everyone's doing a terrific job covering it, no question.
Do you have a favourite young ball-by-ball broadcaster, Dennis, that you'd like to put on the map?
Yeah, I may have, but I wouldn't want to put it on radio.
I see.
I'm just stunned by how good a lot of the guys are. You know, like, I think they're just getting better and better. And, you know, they're fresh-faced and they bring some new ideas. And that's the thing. I think what you're looking for in broadcasting, whether it be football or broadcasting in general, you know, you need people who are the real deal and bring something unique to the contest or the broadcast, whatever it might be. And I think there are plenty of those around, and a lot of we're going to get a lot better.
Before we let you go, Dennis, who finishes higher next year, the West Coast Eagles or the Fremantle Dockers?
That's a very good question, isn't it? They've got nothing to trade, West Coast. I mean, getting Kelly back for two first-round draft picks and not taking him when they had four guys at him with no other team sort of in the marketplace. I mean, he was playing local football. They could have drafted him any one of 4 years and just put him on the rookie list. And they go then when he plays at Geelong and does so well and give up two first-round draft picks. Now, I think they pick midway through next year. When the draft's on, I think their first round pick is midway through the first round. Mm. Nothing then until about in the 20s in the second round. I can't see how they get better. Maybe one last hurrah. That's the best I can do. But I think they're going to be hard pressed for the next decade. I don't see it getting easily fixed.
Dennis, I have had a great pleasure over many decades both working with you and listening to you broadcast all manner of sports. It's been a great pleasure for us, and I'm sure all of our listening audience would join me in by saying congratulations. Thanks for your input to the sport. You've been absolutely brilliant, and have a great retirement, if it is so.
Don't say that. good on you, Jared. I don't think, I'm being honest here, I don't think that I've worked with too many more insightful experts than yourself. And it's good to hear your voice.
You're very kind, Dennis. All the best, mate, and have a great retirement. Dennis Cometti, the great Dennis Cometti. What a fantastic contribution he has made. Matthew Lloyd's here for Macca's Monopoly game. Lloydie's top sevens up next.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. Matthew Lloyd's top seven for Kia, where the new Niro electric SUV range has now landed.
Well, we've got a couple of top sevens, thanks to Matthew Lloyd. And the big one, of course, is for the Matthew Lloyd medal for the best player through the final series. But let's warm us up, thanks to Kia. Lloydie, with your top seven big young men in footy, can you define big?
Around that 200-centimetre mark, and it's off the back of Luke Jackson's grand final, Jared. Okay. That's what's got me to this idea. So number seven, this is how I view their careers will pan out. Not where they sit right now.
Yes,
so
okay.
Number seven, Logan McDonald from the Sydney Swans. Once Buddy moves on, I think he's going to find his spot. I think he played better when Buddy wasn't in the side.
Indeed, yep.
So Logan McDonald. At number six, the wingman. I don't know where he'll finish up in his career, but Nick Cox at number six. Yeah. Number five, I hope this guy gets a good run at it, because he could, well, shoot even higher up this order. Rowan Marshall at five. Four, the Coleman medalist, Harry Mackay. Mm-hmm. I've got Jackson at three.
Luke
Jackson at number three.
Big year, wasn't it?
It was out of the King Twins for 2-1. I've gone with Ben at number two, and I think Max, because of his ability to take pack marks at number one. But the Matthew Lloyd medal, Jared?
Okay, the Matthew Lloyd medal. Can you give us your grand final votes before we go to the big award?
One, Bontempelli. Two, Caleb Daniel. Three, Christian Salem. Four, Brayshaw. Five, Oliver. Six, Fritsch. And seven, Christian Petrarca.
And the winner, as the music starts to tell me, we've got to hurry up. The winner of the Matthew Lloyd inaugural Best Player of the Final Series is Christian Petrarca on 18 votes, ahead of Clayton Oliver on 12. Bailey Smith failed to salute in the grand final. He got 11. Jack McRae got 10. Tom Hawkins, 7. And Max Gawn was next best. Great to have you in, Beaver. We'll see you tomorrow night. Lloydie, you've had a fantastic season.
And I'm back next Monday, though.
We will see you next Monday with your final top seven.
Thanks, Jared.
You're listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. Believe in great designs, so you'll love being home. Coming up, Andrew Embley, who of course won the Norm Smith medal 15 years ago in the 2006 grand final, and Russell Robertson, the third highest goal kicker in Melbourne's storied history, still celebrating after the Demons' drought-breaking flag win on Saturday night in Perth.
And the grand final. How many Demon people do you reckon observed the curfew Saturday night?
Ooh, there would have been a major bending of the rules. It wouldn't have been.
I think it was reinterpretation.
Yeah, well, do you know of any?
Yes.
Right, but we can't name names.
No name naming. I mean, I've heard
protect
of.
Protect the guilty.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, anybody who was out there undercover in underground car parks, etc., avoiding Dan's drones, good luck to you.
So that's part of the grand final wash-up, thanks to Sutton Tools.
Sutton Tools.
Thanks to Sutton Tools.
Yeah.
So that's in part of the washer. Well,
it's not my favourite name in Victoria right now. But Sutton Tools are just absolutely different. They are magnificent.
That's very clever. Yes, well, the wash-up is continuing if you're of the red and blue persuasion. So if you have been on Mars for the last 48 hours, Jetta, first flag in 57 years. Do you know it was Melbourne's highest winning margin in a grand final, which given they've now won 13 titles, it beat their previous best by 1 point when they flogged Collingwood by 73 points back in the Olympic year of 1956.
Let me ask you this, Beaver, and I know that you're very, very much a traditionalist, as am I, but I think traditions need reinterpreting at times. Do you believe that we should consign Victorian football history to history? And we should be counting, as I do, I believe this, we should be counting premierships from 1990 on as AFL premierships, because we're trying to compare professional era premierships to, you know, eras in the when John Wren was slipping paper bags underneath doors.
Good luck with that argument with Eddie. Well, there's the first flaw in your argument, Jared. Where do we start? You say 1990, yeah. and that is when the VFL
became the AFL.
Changed the name.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened?
Well,
it's not a flaw.
I don't mind if you want to bring it in 87 when the Eagles came into the competition.
And the Bears.
And the Bears, yeah. Well, that's okay. Well, but that's a detail. It's not an argument killer or a flaw.
What about your Sydney Swans in 82?
Well,
who were the first?
They were very much in the VFL though. Yes. I don't think it became a national competition until you had clubs in enough states to guarantee it, isn't it? So just pick me out the date. The Swans didn't win one in the national
competition. So you'd probably have to go 97, wouldn't you? So 91, you go the Crows.
Yep.
95, Fremantle comes in.
Yep.
The end of the centenary season, or the centenary season, was 96, and then Port Adelaide started in 97 with Fitzroy merged into the Brisbane Bears. So do we start from 97?
Sounds good to me.
Which is now
but
a
that would,
quarter of a
that
century.
That would rob the Eagles of a couple of flags.
Well, that's where your argument is.
No, it needs a date. That's all.
Okay.
I just don't think you can. I mean, otherwise you bring Port Adelaide's premierships in.
Well, didn't Colin Carter want Geelong's VFA premierships included?
But to me, and my argument with Colin was, okay, I don't mind if you include those, but include those in the VFL because they were VFL premierships. They weren't AFL premierships. And I think that there's a distortion of history if you're trying to compare, you know, the Eagles with four versus Melbourne with, say, what are they now,
13.
So it should be, in my view, Eagles with four, Melbourne with one, first AFL flag. And whatever date you want to put on the establishment of the AFL, that would be, to me, the reset.
Because of all the expansion clubs, the only one that's been born out of a previous club is Port Adelaide.
And Sydney.
Because even Fremantle, even though there's the South, and Sydney, well, and Brisbane with the
Fitzroy.
Heritage of Fitzroy. Yeah, it's a tough argument. It's the old line of how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? And it is the AFL, but it is still, at the end of the day, an expanded VFL, isn't it? If it was the AFL,
we've expanded and brought in an SANFL club, Port Adelaide.
But they're the only one.
That's true. But why should we ignore them? I just think we're in it. It's basically more comparing the professional era versus this sort of amateur, quasi-amateur, semi-professional era that I played in.
It's the catch-all modern era that we talk about. We used to sometimes say, to be cute, the colour TV era.
Right.
Once it came in from
75.
And we went with the coloured shorts and the game became more professional then when the grand final started being televised live from 77, but we're still talking the VFL. There's no easy answer to your – it's a good argument.
Well, there's an easy answer. You either say yes or no, but finding the starting date is difficult.
Yes.
So I'm glad I've got you halfway there. What else happened over the weekend, Beaver? Because we've spent the whole hour talking about the Demons.
Well, as I mentioned off the top of the show, Jared, it was such a strange weekend. Well, the Melbourne Storm got...
disappointing.
Very disappointing. That was true. The Australian women's cricket team lost a match. That made it stranger. The World Heavyweight Boxing Champion. Do you know there was more people at the World Heavyweight Boxing title fight in London than at the AFL Grand Final?
Was there
66,000 at Tottenham Hotspur's
home
ground.
How many Demon supporters there?
There probably would have been a couple, some expats, I reckon. And then, it still comes back to the longest current. Who is the longest current premiership drought now? Don't go there.
Well, there's only one answer to that. And are you still the official chairman of the match committee down there?
No, but it's...
Were you weeping? Just tell me this. I didn't ask you in the first hour. Were you weeping when Andrew Embley got up to say Christian Petrarca was the Norm Smith medalist before Basil let the cat out of the bag?
No, and everyone knew it was going to be Christian Petrarca anyway. It was a tough watch. If you're a hardcore Saints fan, it was a tough watch.
You had Bont best on ground at three-quarter time halfway through the third.
I know what you're saying there, and that's no disrespect to Jack Billings. I mean, Bont charged up the charts in his draft year. I'm not sure how many other clubs we're going to take him in the first round, but... yes, we've now seen since the turn of the century the Swans in 05 and the Cats in 07 and the Dogs in 16 and the Tigers in 17.
Can't be far away,
though. And the Demons in 21. So there's only one team now left all alone on Drought Island.
Last time they won the flag, EJ was in the commentary box with Mike Williamson and Hit the Boundary became famous.
Yes,
and Barry Breen became even more famous.
As a teenager, that was still in black and white as well. So Melbourne winning their first premiership in 57 years is this week's Furphy Unbelievable Moment. Introducing Furphy Crisp Lager. By gee, that's a good beer as well. Nothing against Furphy. I wasn't huge on the ale, but the Crisp Lager is magnificent. Easy drinking, full strength, unbelievable. And Andrew Embley from over in the West is going to join us next.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You are listening to us thanks to Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy Beaver. And the new Kia Niro electric SUV range, which has now landed. The Norm Smith medal is one of the great highlights of the grand final. And of course, if you win one, you go down in history as one of the greats. Andrew Embley, the 2006 Norm Smith medalist. That's a mouthful. He joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Andrew, and great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. It was awesome to be a part of the grand final a couple of days ago, and just a wonderful spectacle that we put on here in Perth, and the atmosphere was outstanding. It was a fantastic game.
It just sounded brilliant. We've spoken to Scoot McClure, who was residing over there on a regular basis. We've had lots and lots of people. We have already spoken to the great Dennis Cometti earlier in the program, who called his last game, ironically and fittingly, a grand final over in Perth. It must have been just all in all brilliant for the code and put some pressure on the likes of Richard Goyder and Gil McLachlan to start considering whether or not it needs to be rotated on a regular basis.
Yeah, obviously we understand what's going on over in the East at the moment, and we did what we had to do over here in Perth. We're really fortunate with this pandemic. We really haven't lived in one at all, and we've got an incredible stadium here in Perth, and we saw how well, lit up during the year in lights with the Dreamtime game and then obviously grand final day as well. But it was just a wonderful week. The momentum was just building day by day, and we sort of got to Friday and it was just people everywhere. It did remind me of a Melbourne feel heading into a grand final. And the game itself, as you know, was just a momentum swung from, Bulldogs, obviously, in that second quarter when they looked really good, and then suddenly Melbourne got back on top. It was just an incredible game of football. But just the atmosphere in there, and West Australians, as you know, they just love their football.
Yep.
And they chose a team, and it did feel like the majority of the crowd were leaning towards Melbourne, but it was just great to be a part of it.
Andrew, talk to us a little more about the stadium. You've played in a couple of grand finals in front of almost 100,000 at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. You played a lot of football, obviously, at Subiaco, which used to rock to its foundations with about 45,000 in. You obviously haven't played in the new stadium, given you're long retired, but you've experienced it and been out in the middle of it to present the Norm Smith Medal. Just put some flesh on the bones as to how awesome an experience it is being in that sort of atmosphere and cauldron.
Yeah, it's incredible, Bruce. It's a fantastic stadium, and I guess a little bit different to the MCG, where when the MCG is full, you've probably got maybe two teams that maybe 60% going for one side, 40% the other side, where generally when Optus is full, it's 55,000 going for the one team in a cauldron, which is extremely loud. So it really does light up. The lighting system at the stadium is outstanding. It comes across, the sound system comes across really good. And I think that's the reason why we were able to have our twilight or night grand final and have a great halftime show, purely because of how good our lights and sound system are over here at this particular stadium, being a new stadium. And I'm sure it came across really well on TV as well. But it is a wonderful stadium. We're very fortunate to have a great stadium here in Perth, and as I said, like, West Australians just love their sport, and whether it's AFL, whether it's a Bledisloe Cup game, or even a big soccer game, or even a concert, when it's full, it comes across really well.
Now, be honest with us, how many times had you practiced running through in your mind the 10 words that you had to get right when you were going to be called to the microphone? The winner of the Norm Smith Medal is Christian Petrarca. Were you running over and over in your mind thinking, I've got to get this right?
I said during the week a couple of times when people said, who's going to win? I actually said a couple of times, Melbourne and Christian Petrarca. So I felt like I was just ready. I wasn't going to muck this one up and got up there, and good old Baz just took over for me. So that was fine. But it was, Christian Petrarca is an absolute beauty. He's just been such a dominant player in the competition for a few years now. And he just showed on grand final day why he's just elevated himself into a super star of the competition, and he was just fantastic, and congratulations to him. It's a moment that he'll remember for the rest of his life.
I haven't heard anywhere people saying that the voting panel need to be re-educated because they've gone for a big tall midfielder as against a forward. That argument seemed to die a slow death, or a quick death actually, after the nonsense re the Brownlow medal. But once again, a big mid has proven why they do win the Brownlows, because they're the most influential men on the ground most often.
Yeah, they were. And, mids, they can push forward too, and that's what we're seeing a bit at the moment. Yeah. And even when you look at Bontempelli on the other end, when he kicks his third goal halfway through the third quarter, you think, the Bulldogs are on their way, and he may just be the Norm Smith medalist. And then suddenly just, 8 minutes of football towards the end of the third quarter, and it was the big mids from Melbourne that just kept going. Those centre bounce clearances through the front door, and Viney was very much a part of that, and Oliver, but Petrarca was just sensational, as we know. And it was just a wonderful contest. And but there's no doubt, mids that can push forward and kick goals, and we've seen Dustin Martin do it over the last 3 or 4 years. They're just worth their weight in gold, and they added other strings to their bow. So it was a wonderful performance from both sides, really. But no doubt, the best players, and you love seeing the best players stand up well on grand final day, and that's exactly what both sides did.
Well, the bomb was BOG for mine midway through the third, but we'll get to him in just a sec. Christian Petrarca got 5 threes. Bailey Fritch got 5 twos. Clayton Oliver got 3 ones. Christian Salem got 1, and Caleb Daniel got 1. Nothing there for Bont. But can I ask you, Andrew, how many goals would Bailey Fritch had to have kicked to slide in front of the great performance of Christian Petrarca? We were sort of thinking 7. He got to 6. He had a shot after that. Well, he had a shot that could have got him to 7. That might have made it a par. How many would you? Would he have had to get to 8 perhaps to have a clear win?
Yeah, I reckon. I mean, Petrarca's game was just sensational, wasn't it? But how many guys kick big bags in grand finals these days? It hasn't happened for a long, long time. So I think you need to have a look at, you know, Bailey Fritz's performance. And he's not even a big key forward. If you had said to me at the start of the game that Bailey Fritz was going to kick six goals, you would have gone, geez, that's just, you know, not going to happen. So he was just outstanding. And I'd love to know when when you actually have to get the voting in as well, because I've got a feeling like sometimes, you know, you got to get it in, you know, 10 minutes to go before the end of the game. Now, a lot can happen. And,
I think they've changed that, Andrew.
Yeah, changed that after one particular one. I think it was the Michael Voss one.
The Voss Buckley one. Yep.
The Voss one, exactly. Okay. So, obviously, they got it right, but in saying that, I reckon probably seven or eight. But it was Bailey Fritz in that third quarter when, you know, Bontempelli, you know, kicked his third. It was Bailey Fritz. He was the one that got them going, didn't he? And sparked it a bit like what Treloar did in the second quarter with the Bulldogs. So those quick two goals to Bailey Fritz, and suddenly the game just turned on its head, didn't it? Ben Brown took a big contested mark, and Oliver, that running goal from a centre bounce clearance. And geez, I mean, you guys are watching as much footy, a lot more footy than I have, but that last 7 or 8 minutes in that third quarter from Melbourne was just absolutely devastating. I'm not sure if I've seen a better 7 or 8 minutes of football. I actually even went home and watched it again on Saturday night just to sort of see how good it was, because watching it live was just frightening.
It's always dangerous to think out loud on radio, but I've just had a thought, Andrew and Jared. And, gee, I know you've been a judge a couple of times for the Norm Smith. I was lucky enough to be a judge back in 2003. Why isn't the person presenting the Norm Smith one of the five judges?
Don't know. Maybe you should be the chairman. And I think they're a little bit nervous after Ross Glendinning.
Well, that was his own medal, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I mean, I know the decision was changed with Nathan Buckley and Michael Voss, but I maintain, and I've gone back through that, I know Voss had a brilliant 10 minutes, but this is for the entirety of the game. I still maintain Buckley was the best player that day.
Yeah, back in 2002. And, of course, because that grand final went down to the last 90 seconds. Andrew, just a couple of quick ones before we let you go. Have you guys had a 15-year reunion this year? Did you all get together over there?
We're going to catch up in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to merge it with the 92 and 94 guys, which is really exciting. Oh, so we've got a race day, so Caulfield Cup Day, I think, in a couple of weeks' time. Out at Ascot. So we're going to catch up with them and have a premiership reunion. I think one of the 18 guys, Jamie Cripps, is getting married. So unfortunately, a lot of the 18 guys won't be there. But I think we're going to start merging a few of these now. So we've obviously been really fortunate to have four flags at the club now. And a lot of those 18 guys are sort of starting to come towards the end of their careers. So it'll be something that we'll do, I think, together. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to certainly joining the 92 and 94 guys this year.
And you must have been delighted to see your old captain looking in pretty good health at the Brownlow just over a week ago.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I had a fair bit to do with Ben this week in particular, and he did a couple of functions for us. And he's up and about. He's great. He's almost a prodigal son, as you know. People just absolutely love him. But more importantly, he's starting to get himself in a better place. And the football environment, he understands, is a really good one to be in. And he's got a great story to tell if you can get himself right. So he was had an outstanding week. And, yeah, hopefully he continues to head in the right direction.
Great to have a chat to you, Andrew. And well done. Let's hope Basil sends you a bottle of wine for robbing you of your biggest moment. But you would have done it with aplomb anyway. Well done.
Thanks, guys. I think the Simon Goodwin chat was probably a bit bigger than not Embers getting up and presenting the Norm Smith. But all good. Thanks very much, Jared. Thanks, Bruce.
Andrew Embley, the 2006 Norm Smith medal. And it must have been a cracking spot to be, Beaver.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And I mean, it's an unbelievable ground. I've been there many, many times. And I've seen big games there, derbies, etc. But this was at another level.
I've called more cricket there than footy. Okay. I've only called a couple of footy and was there for the start of it as a stadium with a one-day international, Australia and England, and a test match. And it's just, it is an amazing venue. Will there ever be another grand final there, G?
There will be.
Wow. So you're on the rotation bandwagon.
I've been on make the grand final national for 25 years, but the COVID has opened up the door, hasn't it? And we now know just how ridiculous it is to have it at one venue.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
So it's a ridiculous contract.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if the AFL, seriously, talk about short-term thinking. Get the cash rather than grow the game. But if you're trying to grow the game nationally, you just have to have it on a rotational basis.
I'm too narrow-minded, aren't I? I'm too Victorian.
We're all Victorian. But this is a game scenario. This is not about Victoria. This is the national game. It's not our game.
So where's the next one then? Adelaide, obviously.
Well, the next one, yeah, that would be the one. If it was on a rotational basis.
And what about 28 years' time?
We've had
two in a row outside of Melbourne.
Yeah. No, I think that essentially, like this, Lee went with every 5 years. I reckon the early gambit should have been every three and settle for every four.
Gee, you'd be stiff if you hadn't seen your team in a grand final for a long time and then you cop the non-Victorian one, if you're following a Victorian club.
That's right. What about if you're from Adelaide or from Sydney or from Western Australia or Brisbane?
Yeah, and what if you just missed? Yeah, if you're in Adelaide and you follow the Crows or the Power and you get two Victorian clubs playing in the grand final of the year, it's in Adelaide and you've just missed.
Well, we just had that experience. How good was it yesterday or Saturday? Absolutely brilliant. Beaver's got his head in the sand. I know I'm the outrider on this one, given that we're broadcasting to a Victorian audience. But nevertheless, that's my view, and I haven't changed it. If you'd like to let me know tomorrow, give us a call on the Harcourts. Open line 13 13 32 is the number. We're going to take a break. And after that, we have got Russell Robinson joining us, one of the past greats of the Demons. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, and we're here for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you'll love being home. A great Melbourne man now joins us, Russell Robinson, who would have been absolutely blown away like the rest of us when the Demons went to work midway through that third quarter, and no doubt he's been celebrating like the cyclone that we saw since that point in time. Welcome to you, Robbo. Great to have you on board.
Yeah, Bruce. Yeah, look, so exciting, guys. It's uncharted territory for a lot of Melbourne supporters out there. Wasn't it great?
Well, it just seems to be just so many guys so proud of their footy club now after having been so disappointed in their footy clubs for a long period of time. But right now, everybody is celebrating with the team that has finally broken that hoodoo.
Yeah, Jared, and you know it well, mate. We joined a club early days that obviously found it really hard to get there. You know, you hear about all these curses and the plight of Melbourne, and we're just sick of it, you know. And I think, you know, in reflection, since we won, it started pretty instantaneously after the final siren. I've reflected on the journey of the last 10 to 15 years since it got really bad, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
It was bad, but then there was some... I mean, we plumbed the depths, didn't we? And I think there was a systematic rise, slowly, lineal sort of, since we got Peter Jackson in and then Ruse and then a capitulation of really great people through our club. And you have to go to all those amazing supporters, members, that put their hard-earned to this football club and their passion. And they're the ones that have really got us there.
Yeah, so I was speaking to a former board member, who remains nameless today, and he talked about the meeting that the board had with Gil McLachlan way back when just prior to Jackson and Ruse being appointed or around that time. And, I mean, this is at a time, Beaver, when you've got to remember back where parents were protesting if their children or their kids or their boys were recruited to Melbourne. They were almost going to bring the draft down until something absolutely, you know, mind-blowing was put in place, and that wasn't Peter Jackson, even though he was significant. It was Paul Ruse coming along, and as you said, it's been a very linear improvement since then. I mean, there's been the ups and the downs. You know, prelim final down to 17th 3 years ago, then 9th, and then a flag. But the flag was really built off 2018 rather than the 19th in 2019. But it's a club that was on its knees, and it's a great name, a great club, and it nearly went out the back door, but now they're premiers.
Well, it's fairly storied, isn't it? You know, if you look back, there's some names that spring to mind. One of them would be, I mean, the first port of call has to be Jimmy Steins when he puts together that evening down in, I think it was Spotswood, and, you know, we raised $6 million or $5 million in a night. That was towards the end of my career. We're paying players 93% of the salary cap. We were, you know, drafted, and you know, we got into trouble with the salary cap at some point, so we weren't able to draft well. And you know, we're training out of a postage stamp that we're only allowed to get on in April, and we're training all over Melbourne, Trinity Grammar, and we're out to Witten Oval, we're training on Vic Park, we're doing our weights at the Junction Oval. We were a basket cage. And it just runs pretty deep, doesn't it? And then Jimmy comes along and says, we better get back to the MCC, and we better make some real scratch here. Calls on the passion of the supporters, and that's what we finally get to, and we get some money in the bank, and like you said before, like I said before, a linear sort of thing, and we've got all the way back to be premiers in 2021.
Robbo, did you in the lead up to the game reflect back to 2000 with your own experiences, given that was really early in your career, but you got to play in a grand final? Obviously it didn't turn out the way you wanted against a fearsome side in Essendon, but did you reflect back to those times last week?
I've reflected ever since, to be honest. Since the siren went again, I was thinking of our supporters, but I was also thinking of how we could have brought that joy back in 2000, you know, and even go further back to 88. You know, we could have ended that drought that the people that we loved, to see that joy in their face would have been amazing. But we weren't able to. Obviously, there was a lot of reasons why, and one of those was we were up against a rampaging Essendon team. We figured we'd be back there again. 02, 04, we were close. Even 98, we were pretty close. We've always been a really decent team and have drafted well. But the question marks were all over our development and our ability to you know, sustain a well-oiled working club. We just weren't able to do it. And once you fix all that sort of stuff, it's just true. You've got to have every component of your football club humming, working well, synergy. You know, that culture that obviously Melbourne has now, you saw it at Hawthorn, you saw it at Geelong when they won those premierships. And again, Trent Cotchin leads this Tigers into a new era. Maybe, just maybe, what we've got now could be a dynasty. Could be a dynasty because they've got this amazing brotherhood right across the club. So, yeah, pretty proud at the moment.
Now, Robbo, anyone that's followed football closely knows that you're a natural-born entertainer. So how did you celebrate Saturday night? Did you clear the vocal cords? Were you singing? Did the guitar come out? How strong did you go?
Yeah, well, way too many whiskeys, firstly. I started early. It didn't help that it was later in the evening for us back here. You know, and then couple of mates, and we did sing the song quite hard after it, and then we're in a spa for about 4 hours after that, so I had a thumping headache the next day, and I'm still struggling right now. I'm not as young as I used to be when we used to back up the next day and go again. I saw the boys over there in Perth. I'm not sure how Gary Lyon went with the boys, whether he had one night at it and shut it down, because they'll be still charging, I reckon.
Yeah, I've got no doubt he's just getting off a plane. We're going to be interviewing him on the couch in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes time. I hope he's had a good sleep on that plane on the way over. I know my brother, Matthew, he's a mad Melbourne supporter, been devoted since his under-19 days, gone through a lot of bad times. I usually swim with him at 7:30 every morning. No excuses, hail, rain or shine. Haven't seen him for 2 days, so I suspect he's found a bar somewhere that's open or should not be open, but is open, and ignored every curfew possible.
Oh, look, and do you know what? I reckon once things do open up and we're allowed to do things legally, we will tear apart a venue, or we'll. No, maybe we all meet at the MCG and we, all the supporters, I'm sure that will happen when the players are presented to the faithful. They really do deserve it. And, you know, I really mean it when I say they've stuck by us through some awful times and put their passion out there. They put their hard earned out there and kept this club going. Yes, of course, we've always had great people, but, you know, our members really deserve this. And I cannot wait to see their faces when Max Gawn is presented to the crowd with Simon Goodwin in that cup. It'll be something to behold.
Yes, we're looking forward to seeing that. That is going to be a sellout at the MCG. I've got no doubt about that. Russell, get the guitar out. Have a good sing-song again tonight. It will continue on for a long period of time. Well done to all of you and everyone who's enjoyed the weekend and the post-weekend script. All the best, mate.
Good on you, Jared Beaver. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Russell Robinson, Melbourne great, who, as much as anybody, deserved to enjoy the weekend. And by the sounds of it, Beaver, he did. Tomorrow's SunSmart weather update is a rainy top of 23. Now, a top of 23 is not bad. So you'd have to give that a 7 out of 10, but with a bit of rain, so that's why it's not a 10 out of 10.
Classic spring weather, G.
And if you do notice any changes on your skin, see your GP. I'm going to see my skin doctor on Friday. I've got a couple of spots that need removing. More sports. Oh, it's probably a bit too personal, that Beaver, wasn't it? More sports day coming
Depends
up.
Depends where they are.
Well, one's very close. Right after this.
You're listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And for Wilson Homes, they believe in great designs, so you'll love being home. Earlier tonight, Jared and I caught up with commentary icon Dennis Cometti, who had many interesting things to say, not just about his own great, terrific, brilliant media career, but also that amazing grand final last Saturday night. Here's some of what he had to say.
It is it. But it was a fantastic game, wasn't it? A strange game. Now, I've never seen one quite like it. Both teams looked certain to win at various times, and it didn't work out that way, did it? They were just two sides that went at it for, well, 2.5 quarters, and then suddenly Melbourne ran riot. It was a good day for me because as a kid I used to barrack for Melbourne.
Yep.
My first jumper was a Melbourne jumper, and then I went sort of via the Bulldogs to 3DB. I played a few reserves games for the Bulldogs back in 70, I think it was, or 71. So, fond memories of both those clubs.
We'll get to the game in a tick, but tell me about Perth, and you must be proud of your old town.
Yeah, they turned it on, didn't they? And of course, they're lucky because most people are healthy over here at the moment in terms of COVID. I look east, and it's a terrible thing that's happening over there. So I think it was certainly great for the city, and I hope it was a lift for people in Melbourne watching the game. It was a lovely day, and as I say, both sides had their chances. And then they saw, when it became one-sided, they saw a virtuoso performance from Melbourne. I mean, Melbourne were outstanding. I mean, Petrarca, he reminded me of Lee Matthews XL. Yep. I mean, he's just a bigger and quicker. I mean, you know, Lee would have trouble dealing with him, I reckon.
he'd have one way of dealing with it. I don't think he'd get away with it these days.
Dennis, you can't do that anymore, can you?
Dennis, you've broadcast from suburban venues in Perth, the famous old suburban venues here in Melbourne, of course, grand finals at the MCG with 100,000 people. For those that haven't been to the new Perth Stadium, just talk us through it from a broadcaster's perspective as to just what an amazing cauldron it is.
Well, there's just more room. You know, it's a bigger place. It's a more modern place. That's not putting the MCG down because I love the MCG. You know, cricket, football, I've had some wonderful memories from the MCG. So this is not one better than the other. They're just from different eras. Now, a lot to be said for the MCG. I believe in tradition. So I don't know whether you could do this again. It's hard to say. I just love the stadium. It's brand new. Everything sparkles. There's so much space. It's all about space. And I think even more leg room, they'd have to be, wouldn't they? But so it's new and it's got that advantage over the MCG. It's one of the great stadiums in the world, there's no question. But other stadiums will be built and they'll become great stadiums of the world. That's the way it goes when it comes to stadia.
Hey, Dennis, congratulations on an outstanding career. I've just loved listening to you call, and even some of my games being part of hearing you call my name was a real thrill. I've got a couple of questions. I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times before, but the player you enjoyed calling most and the game that you loved calling the most over your journey.
Well, I think the 89 grand final stands out for a whole range of reasons, but that was a spectacular game, sensational start. You didn't have to wait long. Mm. In fact, I was looking back over my left shoulder to see what the heck had happened, but it was a terrific game. And when you look at the figures of, say, a game like that compared to what we've seen in the last decade, the number of possessions in games, it was about a third. It was about a third. It just went from end to end, goals, Ablett, you know, the whole thing. So that's one of the great games I saw. And State of Origin. I mean, nothing was purer than State of Origin. Undercoached, which was a good thing, and the best players in the country coming together. And they meant it. I mean, they didn't come over here for a free ride. They came over here to try and win games against South Australia or Western Australia, the Victorians. And, of course, the other way, wow, we didn't play too many State of Origin games in Melbourne, though, but certainly in Perth and Adelaide, that really rejuvenated football. Not that it needed too much rejuvenation, but that was an extra step that we hadn't seen coming, and it was magnificent.
And the player? Sorry, Dennis?
Did I say a player? Well, Lee would be one. Polly would be another. I played with Polly back in the 60s, and he was very good to me, Polly. I think I may have been known as Polly's pet at one stage. I stuck very close to Polly. And then, let me see, other players, too many. I'm going to leave some out that probably, when I think back about the interview, I didn't list any. So Farmer, certainly. Cable, brilliant. Now, they're both West Australians. I saw a lot of them. But Cable, both of those players proved their worth when they went to Victoria. Ebert, I like very much. And as far as the Victorians are concerned, I mentioned Lee. I go back a ways over there. My favourites actually turned up over here. A lot of Melbourne players in particular came to Western Australia. So I saw Bob Johnson probably in his prime. He coached a premiership side over here. Hassa Mann was another great player who came from Victoria and coached a premiership side in Perth. Don Williams, who was another great player. All these names, Jared, you'd recognise. Mm. Don Williams came over and he played for West Perth and played in the premiership. And ironically, the coach of that team was Arthur Oliver from the Western Bulldogs. My first league coach over here was Bob Spargo, whose grandson played for Melbourne the other day.
Yes, and he's now a premiership player. Dennis, going to ask you about the game. You've seen, you know, probably in my view, the best era was early 90s. It's gone through this really congested era. It seems to me to be coming out the back or coming out the front, as it was with Petrarca getting all those goals from the front half of the squared. Are you happy with where the game is evolving to at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I think it's sort of come out of the doldrums. When you look at the possessions in that game I was talking about back in 89, they were probably less than a half of what they were doing, you know, sort of 4 or 5 years ago. So that's remarkable in its way, isn't it? Where did those possessions go with far less scoring? So it went backwards. It was hard to watch at times. But now I think, unlike you, I mean, when you saw that free running at the weekend, of course, these were the best two sides. Yep. But they had runners. We knew that going in. Fancy trying to stand in Petrarca's way. I mean, if you're 20 metres gone from the centre, he was gone. You know, like you couldn't bring him down. And that sort of player is so exciting. As I said before, Lee couldn't catch him, and I doubt Lee could knock him over. But as you said, probably Lee had his own measures that he could take. But it's terrific. That game at the weekend, when both sides could win it, now we say that often when we see games, either side could win. But really, you get a feeling that one side's on top. But I've never seen such movements one way and the other happen so quickly. I mean, halfway through that third quarter, you were going to put your house on the Western Bulldogs, and then suddenly, by three-quarter time, Melbourne are about, three and a half goals in front.
Yep.
Will you still go to the footy next year, Dennis? And if not, how will you fill in your weekends?
Well, no, I'll go to the footy. Well, I don't know if I'll go, but I will certainly watch it on television. I mean, it's a smorgasbord on TV. If the game is not going, you know, sort of as you'd like it to go, or if it's one-sided, then maybe you can just switch channels and get another game. It's just terrific, the coverage now. No one can argue with that. And, you know, everyone's doing a terrific job covering it, no question.
Do you have a favourite young ball-by-ball broadcaster, Dennis, that you'd like to put on the map?
Yeah, I may have, but I wouldn't want to put it on radio.
I see.
I'm just stunned by how good a lot of the guys are.
Well, there he was, Beaver, the icon from the Western Bulldogs himself. Was a star player. He was a coach, actually, of some note. But ultimately, as we all know, one of the all-time great callers who brought so many moments of joy to our living rooms and our ears, either via the radio or mainly via the TV. The great Dennis Cometti, our special guest. Beaver, been great having you back on board. Looking forward to having a chat to you tomorrow about and with Lee Matthews about the Demons. Are they entering a dynasty or are they not?
Look forward to it here all week with you, Jetty. You can't get rid of me that easy. Yes, plenty to discuss again tomorrow night. I hope everyone can join us from 6.